Last year, the YRUU's curriculum dealt with poverty and privilege, and we took sort of a global lens and then we took it down locally. And this year we started talking about Black Lives Matters, but as national events quickly unfolded, the conversation changed to something a little more different and a little more inclusive under the larger umbrella of privilege. So I am incredibly proud of these students today who have taken an active and unflinching look and analysis of their social location. They are not stopping with their self-reflection. They are looking at how their privilege holds responsibility. This topic is incredibly difficult to tackle for any age, and I really honestly could not be more proud. The writing prompt for this year's service is, what is your privilege in society, and how do you work to help those who do not have the same advantages? The freshmen through juniors have written their response to this question. The seniors, who are going to be following the underclassmen at the end, had the option to write about this or to write about their reflections, since this is their last YRUU Sunday before they bridge and go off to wonderful places. You don't have to leave. You can stay. They also had the option to talk about privilege or talk about Unitarian Universalism and their ties to it.
Hi, I'm Elise. Talking openly about privileges can be very uncomfortable. People don't like to admit what they do or they don't have. In our society, I'm one of the most privileged. I'm a white woman from a white family with lots of money. However, women do not receive the same privileges as males. This does not mean I'm not privileged. I'm an able-bodied young white female who does not have to worry about how I'm going to afford my next meal. This is not the case for all people. Some people do have to worry about eating their next meal and where they're going to sleep, or discrimination, or others may have mental disabilities or physical disabilities and can't make money for themselves. In my life, I have chosen to help these people in many different ways, one including Casas de Luz. Every time I'm given the opportunity, I try my best to build a house in Mexico to help those who do not have a roof to sleep under. I also go to feed the homeless with the YRUU group a few times a year. This summer, I plan on helping out in Scripps Hospital as an intern to help people with physical disabilities and gaining back their strength so they can continue earning their privileges. I think people are afraid to look at their own privileges because they are afraid that they do not have enough to give back. This church has helped me give back to the community and become a better person.
Hi, I'm Logan. My privileges in society, I live in a nice home. I don't have to worry about eating a meal every day or affording a meal every day because they're simply given to me by my parents. And I can cross the street pretty much anytime illegally without getting shot. And some of the things that I've done to help those who don't have all the same privileges as me, I've participated at several home builds and buffets for homeless people. And during Thanksgiving, I actually did a 24-hour fast, and I highly recommend that you try a fast someday if you haven't. It really changes your mindset.
I am speaking for Barbara. My family and I moved to Solana Beach from Long Island, New York, when I was 6 years old. In New York, we had many great friends that considered us family. So when we moved here, I was very unsure about who I'd meet and if I'd been able to make any friends. My parents put my name into a raffle at Skyline Elementary for a program called Global Education. This teaches kids about issues, problems, and concerns facing the world and how they affect us as a community. I was chosen in the raffle to join the program, which became one of the most important and amazing experiences in my life. We did so many hands-on projects, and we all became close because of the many activities. We were fortunate to travel to the Grand Canyon in Sacramento. It was such a unique experience I'll never forget. Throughout those years in Skyline, I made lifelong friends and had teachers that have inspired me. Since moving here, my family and I have traveled throughout the West Coast and visited some of the most amazing national parks in this country. In seventh grade, I was introduced by my close friend to Unitarian Universalism. Since Unitarian Universalism then has become a significant part of my life and will always be a part of me. Being in the UU community gives me a sense of security and safety and has taught me life lessons that I'll never forget. I do feel like I've had a fulfilling life, and I am very well aware that people are not as fortunate as I am. From the traveling that I've done, I have seen poverty at its worst, and I've made a promise to myself that I will put as much effort as I can to help those who are less privileged. So far, I've worked to bring awareness to many different social problems in America and throughout the world using the club I've started with my friend Kaylee Corner at Canyon Crest Academy. Since I was little, my dream has always been to go back to Brazil where I was born and work with the kids that live in the slums. Being part of UU as a community, we are aware of the social injustice surrounding us, and we reach out to those in need.
Hello, I'm Abby. So as I was writing this speech, I realized that I am a pretty terrible person. I don't do anything to help people less privileged than me. And that's a terrible thing. And I'd like to thank Allison for making me very aware of how much more work I need to do in that area of my life. It's just, I feel very privileged. I have a great family. I have a roof over my head and this, like, lovely umbrella also. And also, it's a privilege to be able to kind of forget about those things. Like, I've been very busy this past year with school and other activities and lots of tests. And it's, like, that felt, like, worrying about other people and, like, about community as a whole really fell by the wayside, and it's, like, a privilege that I was, like, allowed to do that. Like, a lot of people don't have a choice not to face those issues, like, that stuff that they face on a daily basis, and I feel privileged that that's not something I have to deal with. So in thinking about this, I kind of have some goals for the future and how I need to help my community, and one of which is working with my mom, who's already very active in Planned Parenthood, to help advocate and support women who need better access to women's health care, and how Planned Parenthood is one of the best organizations in helping women. I'm going to start working on my gold award, I should be doing that soon. And I'm working on reducing waste in schools. And I think a lot of the, like, part of the big problem with waste and pollution in general is that a lot of times the people who are able to avoid it the most are not the people who, like, are the people who are best able to help. A lot of times poor communities face pollution on a much wider scale than people who are more privileged, who can, like, purify their water more easily and pay for someone to clean up their yard and stuff like that. So that's something that's really important. And then also reducing waste for the generations of the future who might not even be born yet or can't speak for themselves yet. So that's kind of my plan for the future. Also another way, I'm pretty privileged to be very confident and I'm pretty assertive person. One of the ways I try to use that privilege to help my community is my friend group. A lot of my friends are not very assertive. A lot of them are quite shy. And this past week, we were planning to go to prom together. And we were all going to plan to, like, come over together and go in a car together. And one of the girls decided to try to exclude three of our friends. And so I tried to work and include those three girls again. And a lot of my other friends don't have the confidence to do that. And so that was how I tried to use my privilege to help my friends. And just in conclusion, I am very privileged and I have a lot of work to do coming forward. Thank you.
All right, hi, I'm Colin, and so I'm black, obviously, and I've sometimes experienced the lack of privileges that come with it, either from crossing the street and someone crosses the street, and they, just because I was walking in their general direction, or just get stopped on the street for no apparent reason, and the way I talk and dress and act isn't normally considered to be black, and been known to be the whitest black I ever known. I was privileged enough to go to private school when I was little, where I didn't really experience any racism or didn't know the differences between race and privilege. And now that I'm in high school and go to a really racially diverse public school, I can see the differences in privilege that people have and don't have. I can see that I have a lot more privilege than a lot of people do, and oftentimes take it for granted as other people do. I think it's our duty of people with more privilege than others to help those who don't have as much. I've helped do this by helping feed the homeless with Why Are You You, and will continue to help those who need it. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Andreas Colban, and I'm a junior right now. And every day I wake up and I look outside, and it's normally amazing weather. We're here in San Diego. We can go to the beach. We can go take a hike on the cliffs. We can go down to La Jolla, go up to Encinitas. We don't really have to worry about our next paycheck that much because we're so privileged in this very upper middle class area. I've never had to pay a bill in my life. I've never really worried where my next meal is coming from. And that's not the case for most people in the world. To help kind of balance that out, I've gone down to downtown before and passed out sandwiches with a group at CCA. I've built homes in Mexico with Casa de Luz. And Allison's running a organization to help a woman's prison. And I was on board with that earlier. I've kind of faded out a little bit. But what we do is we gather books and toys so then when their children visit, it's a better experience. In the future, I plan to do a lot more of this and really even out the privilege and the inequality here in America, but worldwide too. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ellie. My speech is going to be a little bit different because I am adopted and I could be living an entirely different life right now. So I feel like that I was lucky enough to be picked out of an orphanage of babies in China for adoption and brought into the most amazing family. I don't exactly know why I was put in orphanage, whether it was due to money problems or the one-child law. And even though it was dropped in 2015, at the time, I feel like it was a privilege to have the chance to live a good life. And even though it's without my birth parents and being adopted into a family that could support me, it was a good choice, I feel, for them. Transracial adoption is when a child of one race or ethnicity is placed with an adoptive parents of another race or ethnicity. I happen to be one of those children, and being transracially adopted has given me many opportunities, like the ability to express my passions, to travel great places, and to have a supportive family. I also have the opportunity to help raise money and build houses for families in Mexico through the nonprofit organization Casas de Luz. Personally, myself, I culturally associate myself with America more than the Chinese culture, but I would love to learn more about where I came from. And living in America has even given me those experiences in bits and pieces, like being able to eat with my friends whose family is entirely Asian, and they do Korean barbecues once in a while, and also from restaurants. Also, before I moved to California, my dad and I, Rich Francois, were both enrolled in a Chinese school in Illinois to learn Mandarin. And even though it was a couple of years, I was still able to learn more about the Chinese culture through the language, and even just watching people in the school. Living here in the United States has given me opportunities to learn more about my culture and learn some of the language. Although I have lost most of that skill, I could probably still pick it up at any point. Personally, I haven't encountered any major racism, but I have occasionally gotten the "you're adopted" or "your parents are white" remarks, and to be honest, it can get annoying sometimes. But from their point of view, it's not the most obvious part about me. Most people do find it interesting that I'm adopted and sometimes ask where I'm from or if I know anything about my birth parents. Sadly, I don't know a single thing about my parents, not even why I was put in an orphanage, but I hopefully will be able to soon.
Hello, so my name's Lillian, and yes. So when people hear the word privilege, normally one of two things comes to mind. White privilege or wealth? Possibly both. However, the word encompasses much more than that. Google's definition is a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or group of people. Everyone has some rights, be it the right to go to school, the right to work, or the right to have a safe place to sleep. Even those who do not have those rights still have something. But it is well known that some people have more rights than others, and therefore more privilege. However, this only creates the question, if a lot of people are aware of these astonishing differences in privilege, why do they exist? Well, the fact remains that some people are not aware that there are those who have less than them. There are also many, many people who don't know why others are treated differently than them. White privilege comes to mind when hearing the word privilege because it is responsible for many disparaging wealth gaps. I myself am white, and therefore have a lot more privilege than other people. However, I did not know that race could be a so-called prejudice, well, reason for prejudice, for a long time. I grew up in southern Wisconsin, going to schools that were well over 90% white. I did not see the racial differences as a thing, because there were almost none where I grew up. By the time I moved to California a little under 3 years ago, I had understood that others were treated differently because of the color of their skin or the shape of their eyes. The school I go to now is only about 15% white, so white privilege is difficult to see even though I can understand it. However, besides the people that don't believe people's privileges might differ, there are those who believe there should be people with less privilege. Back in the definition, it said a particular person or group of people. Is it our skin that defines our groups? Our genders? We're all human, and therefore should all be considered as such, but some people do not agree. Everyone should be treated with, as we say it, inherent worth and dignity, so everyone should have the privileges that they wish to have, but life is less fair than that. The first step to overcoming this is to make sure that everyone understands two things. First, that we are all equal and deserve equal opportunities. And second, that unconscious, and sadly conscious, biases do exist. That way, each person will be on a more leveled playing field, be it for college applications or job interviews. That way, privilege won't be something to leave others on the ground. What am I doing to help? I honestly don't know. Well, I'm standing here before you today, addressing this issue as a start. That's a big step up from not even knowing anything at all. It is impossible to unite us if we don't know where we're falling apart.
Hi, I'm Kaylee. Living in the United States, I encounter privilege every day. The effects of it are present in almost every situation, but they are not always so obvious for me. For example, because I am white, I don't have to remind others that my life matters. Because I am straight, I don't have to come out, because most people I encounter assume I'm straight anyway. Because my gender identity matches what I was assigned at birth, I don't have to fear hostility for nothing more than being myself. Because my family is middle class, I don't have to wonder when my next meal will be, or fear that I won't have a roof over my head. I am not forced to think about these things on a daily basis, unlike many others who do not share my privilege. That is why I find it important that I expand my awareness of the privilege that I have. I believe that such awareness is an important first step to breaking down the barriers of privilege. I find it important to be aware of my biases and to avoid assumptions. For this reason, I always try to have an open mind. As a leader of the Social Justice Club at my school, I engage in conversation with my peers about the inequalities we see in our society. Together, we seek to spread awareness in the school about different issues to others, as well as gain a deeper understanding ourselves. Like I said, though, this is just a first step. My plan and my promise is that I will continue learning throughout my life and seek ways to serve those who are not in the power majority. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Audrey. I'm a graduating senior. Everyone likes some good jokes, so here's a Unitarian joke I came up with. A rabbi, a priest, and an imam walk into a bar. The rabbi says, "Despite our differences, I think there's a lot of common ground between us." The priest says, "I agree. Religion should be a basis for love, not hate." The imam says, "Yes, let's work together for a better tomorrow." The bartender, who's a Buddhist, says, "You're all right. People should have the freedom to believe in any religion or philosophy they choose, as long as it brings them more hope than harm." A guy sitting in the bar says, "Yes, and they should also feel free not to believe in any religion at all if they so choose. Also, I'm gay." And everyone was cool with it. When I first came to this fellowship, I was young and immature. I didn't know a lot about how the world works. 6 years later, I still get mistaken for a 12-year-old, but I'd like to think that I'm more open-minded, compassionate, and knowledgeable. And if I am any of those things, it has a lot to do with being a UU and getting to know the people in this fellowship. Allison is one of the most helpful, kind, and involved people I've ever met. When I see her giving advice, giving people hugs, or reading to the kids at intergenerational sharing, I can tell how deeply she cares about every single person in this congregation. It takes a special type of person to be able to care for so many people, but I think we can all aspire to the example she gives us. Everyone in this congregation, especially everyone in YRUU, has helped me grow so much just by being here. I know I haven't been at the Tuesday night youth group in a while because I'm too busy teaching kittens how to recycle, but getting to know everyone in YRUU has been such a great experience for me. It's pretty rare to be able to sit down with a group of people you may not have talked to much before and just be honest about what's going on in your lives. I love seeing how much people have changed over the past 3 years or so. At Camp de Benneville, I bonded with new friends who I never would have met otherwise. At a time in my life when I felt insecure and awkward, camp introduced me to a community of warm, accepting people. Even though I'm leaving now, I hope that it can do the same thing for more people in the years to come. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daria. Unitarian Universalism has meant so much to me. I've been a part of this congregation since 7th grade when I joined the Coming of Age program. I learned so much that year about all the different religions, and it helped me understand what Unitarian Universalism is. After this insightful experience, I decided I wanted to continue being a part of this UU congregation. The next year, I went through the OWL program, and not only did I receive sexual education, but I also gained knowledge in good communication and social skills. Because I didn't really learn anything in my health class, I was really grateful to have been part of this program. When I moved on to 9th grade, I was asked to be a part of the YRUU leadership team. This was a great opportunity for me to get out of my shell and be more involved in this community. And I've been a part of this leadership team all 4 years of high school. Among everything else, this congregation has provided me with my first job. I have been a teacher. I am the teacher for the 4th through 6th grade kids. And I love being with these kids and getting to see them every week. They're so smart and creative, and they always seem to make my day more lively. This congregation has also gotten me involved in the UU camps, and I've been to those camps multiple times a year as a camper and a counselor. This congregation has done so much for me that I couldn't possibly name everything. I'm just so grateful to have been a part of this community and been able to have someone like Allison as a mentor and a friend. Thank you all for making this experience so memorable.
though. I'm Janelle. I'm going to be speaking from the heart today, so I don't have anything to read off of. But I recently moved here from the suburbs of Washington, D.C., Arlington, Virginia. And I actually wasn't really, I didn't recognize my privilege as much as I do now, because I was surrounded, with millionaires and Great Falls and, my best friends. I would drive 30 minutes away from my one-bedroom apartment with my mom and just to visit them. They'd have extravagant houses with housekeepers. And so I didn't really recognize my privilege. And so last year, actually almost a year ago in June, I was privileged enough to be able to move out here to Solana Beach and live with my cousin Kaylee and her mom, my aunt. And so I had to go to a brand new school as a senior, and that was pretty hard for me. And I didn't know what I was in for, because I figured, I heard that, I knew it was a coastal city. I knew that people there were very privileged. And so I was kind of figuring, it's going to be the same as the suburbs of D.C. And before I went to school for the first time, before I went to class, I went to a football game at my high school. And to my despair, the kids were screaming, "Build that wall." And it wasn't just like three people, it was like the entire group of people. And so the fact that they were chanting that really put me in shock. I just had never experienced anything like that. And I was trying to figure out, what are they thinking? I know kids in high school don't know much about politics and stuff, but it's like, I tried to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I was thinking, maybe they just aren't recognizing the problem, because I recently learned that things can't be fixed without recognition. Same thing goes for climate change. If you continue to deny that it's even real, we won't get anywhere. We're just going backwards. So the same thing with, that chant that they were saying, it's like, if they would recognize that that hurts so many people, that there are literal, there's Mexican kids at that game. And so it just broke my heart to hear that. And so I was really hoping that more people recognize, I don't know, that we should just love one another. And so moving here has really given me the opportunity, and I'm so thankful to be able to recognize my privilege more, because now I live in the most amazing house right on the beach. I can walk to the beach anytime I want. I'm surrounded by people I love, and I'm so happy to be a part of this congregation, because it's just something I never had before. And so I think it makes me even more thankful than someone who is just born into it. So I think I'm very privileged to just be a part of this and to know everyone and to be a part of something so inclusive and just loving and warm. And yeah, thank you.
Hi, I'm Ethan, and I actually didn't really know that I was given the option to talk about my privilege today, but trust me, I am, and I'm working very hard to compensate for that. All right, so today I'm actually going to be talking about what you guys have given me over the past 9 years. So, I have been a part of this fellowship, like I said, for around 9 years now, and when I was, given a prompt for this talk, I was told to talk about what, this UU Fellowship has given me. And I didn't think this would be a difficult task at all. I mean, I love it here, and I've always felt completely at home when I'm here, so it should be, pretty easy to put this experience into words. However, as you've probably guessed by now, because, it's a little bit obvious, it wasn't that simple. At other fellowships or churches or religious groups, I believe that this is kind of a very easy thing to say, what one gains from attending. You show up and you learn about, God and how to avoid pissing him off and all that good stuff. And of course, this aspect is very important. It's important to learn from your elders. And of course, we do that here at UU as well. But this is not everything that I have gained from this experience. So, first of all, through this place, I've gained a place for discussion. When I first joined the youth group here, I was astonished at the open-mindedness and ability to listen to other people's point of views. I was expecting a lesson with Allison, in which, you know, we completed some dumb little task that's supposed to teach us a lesson of some sort, and once in a while she makes us do that. But that is not the extent of what we do. Most of the time, we sit down and talk about what is important to us, no matter if it be as important as the faults we find in our society, Black Lives Matter, or as trivial as drama going on in our lives. Through these meetings, I have gained more knowledge from the perspectives of my peers than I believe I ever have at school. Building on this, this fellowship has given me the ability to grow into the person that I am today. I'm so incredibly appreciative that I joined, because without it, I don't know how different my morals and values would be. This community has consistently taught me to be loving, caring, and compassionate in everything I do, and there's not one, you know, there's not one service or one other person I have talked to that has preached hatred or negativity, and for that, I cannot thank you enough. Finally, the people of this fellowship has given me a home. No matter what is going on in my life, I know that I can that when I walk up those stairs, I will be accepted and supported in every way possible. If I need help, all I need to do is walk over to Allison or another person here and say so. Growing up to where I am right now has been a bit of a roller coaster, and nothing has really stayed the same except my belonging here. This fellowship has been one of the few constants in my life, and for that, I will always be grateful. Thank you.
I will be speaking through Anton's speech. So, I have no idea how to express what this fellowship means to me through words, because it goes beyond where language could ever go. That being said, I'm going to do my best to put my feelings into words. UU is everything to me. It's a privilege. It's where the people that I love are, the place that I feel safe. It's home. Through this fellowship, I've been able to grow so much because of all the love and support I was given. I have made friends that will last a lifetime, with people who will always love for me who I am. I wrote this speech because Allison asked me to, and she has done so much for me that I would never be able to thank her enough. Allison, I know I don't say this enough, but I and we all love you and truly appreciate everything you've done for us. Thank you so much for everything.
Hi, I'm Sienna. You've probably seen me around. I'm also a graduating senior, so this is my love letter to UU. Dear Unitarian Universalism, I don't think that I have the words to accurately and fully express my gratitude to you, but I intend to try. When I first began attending UUFSD, I was 12 years old and part of the Coming of Age program. I don't think that I fully knew what Unitarian Universalism was until about halfway through the class. I just knew that my mom wanted me to be there and that I was vaguely interested in what we were learning. What I could have never known then and still have trouble wrapping my head around now is that Unitarian Universalism has changed my life. At 12 years old, I learned in coming of age that spirituality has many interpretations, and I began to understand that everyone's true and innate goals and morals are really the same when deconstructed. This was when I began to understand what tolerance is in its purest and most genuine form. So although I understand that spirituality was up to interpretation, I didn't yet quite know how to define spirituality on my own, despite my best efforts. Luckily, since then, I've uncovered my own definition of spirituality. Through Reverend Megan's seemingly unconditional forgiveness and love when I was at fault, through the overwhelming power of human connection and acceptance that I found during youth camp at Camp de Benneville Pines, through Allison's hugs, through my observation of love's ability to overcome. I also believe that a significant aspect of my own spirituality has been acting on my morals and on our seven principles in the form of social activism. Through Unitarian Universalism, I've been introduced to the social justice issues that I care most deeply about. My innate moral compass and my instinctive drive to make this world a more loving one were set afire when I truly came into this community and spoke about humanity's most significant issues with people who care as much as I do. And so I credit Unitarian Universalism for my desire to make social justice a lifelong commitment. I intend to work to change unequal and corrupt systems that I see before me for the rest of my life. Thank you, Unitarian Universalism, for setting this fire beneath me. Thank you, Unitarian Universalism, for gracing me with people who have carried me through my most difficult moments, for gracing me with people who are some of my closest and most cherished friends. Thank you, Unitarian Universalism, for an unparalleled sexual education that has impacted me more than I could have ever known. Thank you, Unitarian Universalism, for showing me what love is in its purest form. Thank you, Unitarian Universalism, for making me a shy teenager, a leader, through a paying job and multiple positions, for giving me the confidence of knowing that I am capable. Thank you, Unitarian Universalism, for showing me that I'm worthy, that I'm enough. Thank you.